suggestion for tomorrow. Here's the way to win the war. Win the war, win the war. Here's the way to win the war. You gotta get out and vote to get the things we're fighting for. Fighting for, fighting for. To get the things we're fighting for. You gotta get out and vote to clinch that happy ending on the Tokyo, the Berlin, and the Rome front. The fella with the bullet is depending on the fella with the ballot on the home front. Oh, we want to have a better world, better world, better world. Want to have a better world, you got to get out and vote. Now let's keep the engines humming. Don't change the engineer now, 'cause the new world vessel is coming.
Win the war. To get your reservation now for a greater nation now. Get your reservation now.
How?
This is Humphrey Bogart. I'm a registered voter in the 16th Congressional District of California. I'm one of a number of people from a great many walks of life who've come here tonight of our own free will because we have a deep and common interest in the outcome tomorrow of the most important election in this history of our country. We're here to tell you why we're going to vote a certain way, and what we've got to say will come straight from the shoulder, even if it's sung sometimes instead of spoken. Personally, I'm voting for Franklin D. Roosevelt because I think he's one of the world's greatest humanitarians. And because he's leading our fight against the enemies of a free people in a free world. Millions of other people are for him for the same reason, or perhaps very different reasons. And a few of these people are here with us tonight to let you in on their particular angle. Some have come from long distances, like the man at my elbow, who reaches his microphone by way of Cambridge, Massachusetts, San Diego, and Tarawa.
My name is Harry Candler. I joined the Navy at the age of 48 because I felt the danger confronting us. I felt that the security of my children and your children was at stake. Last September, Mrs. Kendler and I lost a son somewhere in France. Another son is in the Army. Until I was disabled off Tarawa, I did everything possible in the Navy to fulfill my obligation to my children. Right now, I'd like to say this. If our president is defeated, I will feel as though I were defeated because he typifies everything I felt I was fighting for. I want to hold on to our social gains. I wouldn't want to see my shipmates living in shacks and empty lots. It isn't easy to forget the Hoovervilles after the First World War. Most important, I don't want a Third World War. I don't want to risk my third son's life at the untried and inexperienced hands of a city district attorney. I'm sure you don't.
Standing now at a microphone in New York is a man who saw action 12,000 miles from Tarawa. An Italian boy from the Bronx. Go ahead, Jim.
Jim Longhi's my name. I'm a merchant seaman, member of the National Maritime Union, CIO. I was torpedoed twice, once in the Mediterranean and once off Normandy. That was bad enough. But to be torpedoed in your own state by your own governor, that's something else. 20,000 of us merchant seamen from the state of New York have been robbed of the right to vote by our little Governor Dewey. Every port I've made overseas, the people are praying America will re-elect FDR, especially the people of Italy, where my own folks come from. They want the same thing we do, peace that will stick and jobs and security that go with it. I'll be shipping out soon, but next time I come home, I know Dewey will be back in Albany and Roosevelt will still be in the White House. Now I want to introduce a man I've never seen. An ex-Army pilot with a DFC, Oak Leaf Cluster, Air Medal, and Purple Heart. His name is Ballin, and he's in California. Come in, Harold.
Thanks, Sailor. About me, I was discharged from the Army Air Force after 54 missions. The flak finally caught up with me out of New Caledonia. Got me in the spine and leg, but the doctors have fixed me up and I'm doing okay. I was 22 when I left college to join the Royal Air Force and do a bit of flying over France. After Pearl Harbor, I transferred to our own Air Force and flew in the Pacific. Right now, I'm working and looking forward to the Veterans Rehabilitation Plan. This government's helping me go back and finish my studies. They're helping me to get 4 more years of college, including $80 a month in tuition. I understand that Governor Dewey has not only cheated merchant sailors out of their vote in this election, but he's fixed the soldier ballot so that most of the men from his state, fighting down where I've been, won't get a chance to vote. Well, that trick will probably save him a lot of Roosevelt votes, but I don't think it's going to work. I've talked with the mothers and fathers of a good many of those lads. And I'll tell you something. Dewey can't stop them. Tomorrow will prove that.
There'll be a job for everyone.
Everyone.
Be a job for everyone. We gotta get out and vote. You wanna have security. Security.
Security.
You wanna have security.
You gotta get out and vote.
The growing big red apples that Hoover is promoting. If you don't want to sell those apples, start voting, man, start voting.
Oh, get behind the president, president, president. Get behind the president from the making vote.
This is Humphrey Bogart again. As you must know by now, election year is a great time for speech making, and it's much easier to talk a good game than play it. As of tonight, the two main Republican candidates have made around 74 major speeches. Mathematically speaking, that would be 74 times two sides of the mouth times two, which gets to be pretty confusing. In fact, it comes under the heading of double talk, and that's where Cliff Nazaro comes in.
I'm a professional actor. I specialize in double talk, the kind which comes out of both sides of your mouth at once, like this. Now, I've walked with a girl a sailor rate, and if I hadn't made the same she wanted me, and Miss Dalton, we did want a rate. We didn't cast a spread to bring all the little categories of the mouse. We just went through a battle race and all from here from 10. That's double talk. If you believe the Republicans, then the president didn't prepare us for war. He merely went forced to start around to get the slaughter and security, the pre-war fine of us to get plane with force in these states, and give me that crunch. But that's to be reported. Furthermore, we can't have... So I say, if Dewey wants to run against me, Cliff Nazaro, okay. That's what I call honest competition, because I like to take on double talkers face to face.
I'd like to straighten out some of that Dewey double talk myself. My name is Lorraine McDonald. I'm a housewife and a mother, and I come from Governor Dewey's home state, Michigan. It's my business to make my home comfortable and efficient in spite of wartime difficulties. Now, I've heard a lot of talk against so-called bureaucracy in government, and I'll tell you this. I'm thankful for the bureaucracy that keeps grocery prices within my reach. I'm thankful for the bureaucracy that keeps people who have more money than we have from buying up the scarce commodities simply because they have the means. The Republicans, who have been making such a noise about bureaucracy, were themselves the most bungling bureaucrats in the history of our country. If you younger housewives have forgotten Teapot Dome and the Depression, ask Dad. He knows. I'm thankful that in this war, unlike the last one, it's share and share alike. If the rationing of shoes and gas and other things needed to win the war comes under the heading of bureaucracy, then I say thank God for that bureaucracy and for the president who was far-sighted enough to set it up.
A few miles outside the city of Chattanooga, Tennessee, off a winding country highway named Cloud Springs Road, stands a good-looking farmhouse that was built under the New Deal. If you were to drive up to that farmhouse right now, you'd see light coming from the window of the living room. And inside that room, the family and friends of John S. Christian are at this moment gathered around the radio listening to this program. Mrs. Christian is there, and young Morris and Jean Christian and a few neighbors. But the head of the family, John Christian himself, is not there with them. He's right here. He came all the way out here to California on the strength of a conviction. A conviction that made him mark an absentee ballot for FDR and Truman.
That's right, Mr. Bogart. I'm a farmer from Tennessee. And I'm here to straighten Mr. Dewey out on one of his arguments. Maybe you remember those speeches where Mr. Dewey tried to poke fun at the New Deal, giving us the initials of a lot of government agencies. Well, there's one set of initials that he never did mention, and that's the letters TVA. But most folks know those initials stands for one of the biggest jobs ever done in America. Where I come from, they mean saving the soil in three states. TVA means flood control, power projects, and brand new industries. It's helping win the war, too. But those letters, TVA, also stand for a project that the Republicans fought tooth and nail. That's one reason why I'm voting for President Roosevelt, the man who was behind TVA, because it was one of the things that showed how much courage and foresight he had. And we're going to need a lot of that from now on.
2,000 miles south and west of John Christian's farm in Tennessee is an ordinary business office at 524 South Spring Street, Los Angeles. There are five girls in that office, all of them members of a union, and all of them for Roosevelt, together with their boss. One of those girls is here and wants to tell you why.
My name is Dorothy Hewitt, and I'm a member of the CIO Union, Local 9, United Office and Professional Workers of America. I guess you could call me a white-collar worker or an average wage earner. At any rate, tomorrow I'm going to be an average voter. Naturally, I've been interested in this election, and, in fact, I contributed a dollar to the PAC. I gave it voluntarily, like all the other contributors, because we want to see worthwhile men get into office, regardless of party affiliation. According to the Republicans, my giving a dollar to the PAC makes me a dangerous character. Well, I only wish there were 13 million more girls like me who could also give a dollar each toward honest government. And then we would equal the $13 million given to the Republican Party by one man, Joseph Pugh, the multimillionaire oil man. Now, as a white-collar worker in this war, I've been glad to accept the ceiling on wages.
My name is Garrett, Lester Garrett. I'm an airplane mechanic at Lockheed Aircraft and a trade union man from way back. I've noticed that comes election time, certain people all of a sudden are labor's best friend. Well, that's the gag the Republicans have been pulling in this campaign, except where they find out labor's wires to them. Then the Republicans start yelling their heads off and calling labor unions every name in the book. Well, now I happen to be an AFL man myself, but it looks fishy to me that the Republicans should be squawking about a working man, any working man, giving a buck to the political party he believes in, when those same Republicans are taking millions of dollars from the big money boys, most of whom have long anti-union records. I said I thought it was funny, but I'm not laughing about it. I'm just voting. Voting for Roosevelt.
I'm Bill McCartney, brakeman on the New York Central and a member of the Brotherhood of Railroad Trainmen. I just want to say that we fellows in organized labor get awfully tired of having our intelligence assaulted every 4 years by Republicans who tell us they are going to do better by us than the Democratic Party. Don't they think we know what FDR has done for labor? We know how the Republicans have fought him. Each time he protected us from unfair hours, bad working conditions, and low wages. And you folks who worry about all this high-pressure publicity for Dewey and his friends, you people who think maybe the working man is fooled by their phony arguments, just take it easy. The working man knows more about this fight and what it means to him than any other group of Americans. He has more to lose if FDR loses, more to win if FDR wins. And that's no fooling.